Welcome to Zichud Daf Sin Mani Mamre by Avram Goldar and Dremez Zechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Ein Dal, the 10th parak, Get Pashut. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Huna says that if a potential guarantor said, Alvehu Vani Orev, lend him and I'll be an Orev, or lend him and I'll pay, or lend him and I'll be liable, or lend him and I'll give him payment, these are all ordinary expressions of an ordinary Orev. If he said, Tenlo Vani Kablan, give him the money and I'll be a Kablan, or give him and I'll pay, these are expressions of a kablan from whom the lender may collect outright, even if the borrower has property. Because he asked the lender to give the money rather than lend it, we consider the loan being made on the guarantor's behalf. If he said, lend him and I'll be a kablan, or give him and I'll be an orev, thus using terms of opposite implications, Rav Yitzchak ruled that we follow the kablanus or arvus term used. Rav Chisda said that all the expressions above are commitments for kablanus, except lend him and I'll be an orev, meaning both terms of arvus. Rava said all the expressions above are commitments for arvus, except give him and I'll give payment or and I'll be a kablan. Point number two, an arev for orphans paid the lender without notifying the orphans and came to be reimbursed. Rav Papa said, Prius Balchov mitzvah, the payment of a debt is a mitzvah, v'yasmei labnei ma'avid mitzvah ninu, and minor orphans are not required to perform mitzvahs until they become adults. Even if the loan was recorded in a shtar, the orphan's new debt to reimburse the orev is an oral debt. Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua held orphans would be compelled to perform the mitzvah of repaying a debt and explained differently why the orev cannot collect from the orphans. Amar Tzarei Aspasei, I say perhaps the borrower gave the lender bundles of money as payment before he died. The Gemara notes two nafkaminas between these reasons. Keshechayev Moda, where the liable person, meaning the father, admitted before his death that he owed the money, or Deshamtu Umeis Beshamte, where Beis Din banned him for refusing to pay, and he died while still banned. In both cases, we know he did not pay the debt, but the orphans would still be exempt from the mitzvah of reimbursing the orev according to Rav Papa. And point number three, the Gemara discusses which kind of guarantor is bound to his commitment to guarantee various debts. Orev de Ksuba, regarding an ordinary Orev to guarantee a Ksuba, divrei kol umishtabed. Everyone agrees he's not obligated to keep his commitment, as Gemara will explain. Regarding a Kablan for an ordinary debt, everyone agrees he is obligated. Amraim argue about a Kablan for a Ksuba and an Orev for an ordinary debt. One holds these guarantors only obligate themselves if the debtor had property and it's unlikely he'll have to pay, and the other holds he must keep his commitment even if the debtor did not have property. The halacha is that in all cases he's bound by his commitment to guarantee the debt, except for an orev for a ksuba, who's exempt from paying even if the husband did have property. The Gemara explains mitzvah David. The orev was merely doing a mitzvah of convincing her to get married without fear of her ksuba not being paid, and he didn't cost her anything in her getting married, in contrast to an orev for a loan. So once again, the three points are, number one, Rav Huna says that if a potential guarantor said, halvehu va'ani orev, lend him and I'll be an orev, or lend him and I'll pay, or lend him and I'll be liable, or lend him and I'll give him payment, these are all expressions of an ordinary orev. If he said, tenlo va'ani kablan, give him the money and I'll be a kablan, or give him and I'll pay, these are expressions of a kablan from whom the lender may collect outright, even if the borrower has property. Because he asked the lender to give the money rather than lend it, we consider the loan being made on the guarantor's behalf. If he said, lend him and I'll be a kablan, or give him and I'll be an orev, thus using terms of opposite implications, Rav Yitzchak ruled that we follow the kablanus or arvus term used. Rav Chisda said that all the expressions above are commitments for kablanus, except lend him and I'll be an orev, meaning both terms of arvus. Rava said all the expressions above are commitments for arvus, except give him and I'll give payment or and I'll be a kablan. Point number two, an orev for orphans paid the lender without notifying the orphans and came to be reimbursed. Rav Papa said, Prius Balchov mitzvah, the payment of a debt is a mitzvah, v'yasmei labnei ma'avid mitzvah ninu, and minor orphans are not required to perform mitzvahs until they become adults. Even if the loan was recorded in a shtar, the orphan's new debt to reimburse the orev is an oral debt. Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua held orphans would be compelled to perform the mitzvah of repaying a debt and explained differently why the orev cannot collect from the orphans. Amar Tzarei Aspasei, I say perhaps the borrower gave the lender bundles of money as payment before he died. The Gemara notes two nafkaminas between these reasons. Keshechayev Moda, where the liable person, meaning the father, admitted before his death that he owed the money, or Deshamtu Umeis Beshamte, where Beis Din banned him for refusing to pay, and he died while still banned. In both cases, we know he did not pay the debt, but the orphans would still be exempt from the mitzvah of reimbursing the orev according to Rav Papa. And point number three, the Gemara discusses which kind of guarantor is bound to his commitment to guarantee various debts. Orev de Ksuba, regarding an ordinary Orev to guarantee a Ksuba, divrei kol mishtabed. Everyone agrees he's not obligated to keep his commitment, as Gemara will explain. Regarding a Kablan for an ordinary debt, everyone agrees he is obligated. Amraim argue about a Kablan for a Ksuba and an Orev for an ordinary debt. One holds these guarantors only obligate themselves if the debtor had property, and it's unlikely he'll have to pay. And the other holds he must keep his commitment even if the debtor did not have property. The halacha is that in all cases, he's bound by his commitment to guarantee the debt, except for an orev for a ksuba, who's exempt from paying even if the husband did have property. The Gemara explains mitzvah David. The orev was merely doing a mitzvah of convincing her to get married without fear of her ksuba not being paid, and he didn't cost her anything in her getting married, in contrast to an orev for a loan. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Kuf Ayin Daled, and this simon was suggested to us by Michal Elias from Queens, by Aryeh Gelbart from Brooklyn, as well as Shai Feldman from Brooklyn. They all suggested that Kuf Ayin Daled is a deck, like a deck of a house. So here goes. The orev of a man who borrowed money to build a new deck, who said, "Lend him, and I will pay," was upset that he couldn't collect from the Yosomi when he paid on their behalf because they were not yet chayiv in mitzvos, but was relieved to hear he was not responsible for the ksuba he guaranteed because he was just doing the mitzvah of getting the woman married and it didn't cost her a dime. So once again, in slow motion. The orev of a man who borrowed money to build a new deck, that must be on Daf Kuf Ayin Daled. The orev of a man who borrowed money to build a new deck, who said, "Lend him, and I will pay," which reminds us, Ravuna says, that if a potential guarantor says, "Halvehu vani orev," lend him, and I'll be an orev, or lend him and I'll pay, or lend him and I'll be liable, or lend him and I'll give payment, these are all expressions of an ordinary orev. If he said, "Tenlo vani kablan," give him the money and I'll be a kablan, or give him the money and I'll pay, these are expressions of a kablan from whom the lender may collect outright, even if the borrower has property. So the orev of a man who borrowed money to build a new deck, who said, "Lend him, and I will pay," was upset that he couldn't collect from the Yosomim when he paid on their behalf because they were not yet chayiv in mitzvos, which reminds us, an orev for Yosomim paid the lender without notifying the orphans and came to be reimbursed. Rapapa said, "Prius balchov mitzvah, the payment of a debt is a mitzvah, and minor orphans are not required to perform mitzvahs until they become adults. Even if the loan was recorded in a shtar, the orphan's new debt to reimburse the orev is an oral debt." Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua held orphans would be compelled to perform the mitzvah of repaying a debt and gives a different reason why an orev cannot be reimbursed by Yosomim. So the orev of a man who borrowed money to build a new deck, who said, "Lend him, and I will pay," was upset that he couldn't collect from the Yosomim when he paid on their behalf because they were not yet chayiv in mitzvahs, but was relieved to hear he was not responsible for the ksuba he guaranteed because he was just doing the mitzvah of getting the woman married and it didn't cost her a dime, which reminds us, the halacha is that in all cases, an orev and a kablan are bound by their commitments to guarantee the debt, except for an orev for a ksuba who's exempt from paying even if the husband did have property. The Gemara explains, mitzvah da'avad, the orev was merely doing a mitzvah of convincing her to get married without fear of her ksuba not being paid, and he didn't cost her anything in her getting married, in contrast to an orev for a loan. So once again, the orev for a man who borrowed money to build a new deck, who said, "Lend him, and I will pay," was upset that he couldn't collect from the Yosomim when he paid on their behalf because they were not yet chayiv in mitzvos, but was relieved to hear he was not responsible for the ksuba he guaranteed because he was just doing the mitzvah of getting the woman married, and it didn't cost her a dime. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Kuf Ayin. So the simon Daf Kuf Ayin is an old man with a cane. Kuf Ayin, ka'ain. So here goes. The old man who came to Beis Din and furiously banged his cane, that must be on Daf Kuf Ayin, ka'ain. So the old man who came into Beis Din and furiously banged his cane on the floor, insisting the field is his because he has a shtar and a chazaka, which reminds us, it was time to write, Sabali dum b'shtar b'chazaka, if someone occupying a property comes to litigate with a shtar and claims he established a chazaka of 3 years, Rebbe says that nidum b'chazaka, he's judged with a chazaka. And Rosh Hashanah Gamliel says he's judged with a shtar. Rabbi Avina says, their argument concerns a shtar which has no edim signed on it. Rabbi Ozak Rabbi Elazar that edim asir karti, the witnesses to a get's delivery, empower it to sever a marriage or any shtar's effectiveness, and signatures are not required. Therefore, Rabbi says he can also use a shtar to prove his ownership if edim attest to his delivery, or he can use his chazaka. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds like Rabbi Meir that edim chasima karti, witnesses who sign a shtar empower it to sever a marriage, so a shtar without signatures is invalid, and he must prove his chazaka to establish ownership. So the old man who came into basin and furiously banged his cane on the floor, insisting the field is his because he has a shtar and a chazaka, was forced to bring in the shtar even though he could have won with just a chazak, which reminds the Gemara provides the final explanation of the machlokas. But levarer kamifligei, they argue if one must corroborate a claim he made unnecessarily. The cases where the occupant brought aiding that he occupied the property for 3 years, which awards him the property even without a shtar, but he additionally claimed he has a shtar. Rebbe holds that since he claimed to have the shtar, he must produce it to win the case, and his chazaka is insufficient. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that he can litigate his case with his chazaka alone and is not required to substantiate his superfluous claim that he has a shtar. So the old man who came into basin and furiously banged his cane on the floor, insisting the field is his because he has a shtar and a chazaka, was forced to bring in the shtar even though he could have won with just the chazaka, and was interrupted by an old lender banging his cane, telling the borrower to take a receipt for his partial payment rather than write the lender a new shtar, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Misha Paro Mixes Chovo, if one paid part of his debt and wants to prevent the lender from collecting the entire amount again, Rav Yehuda says, Yachlif, he should exchange the shtar for a new one using the original date and record only the remaining debt. Rav Yossi says he should write a shovar, a receipt for the paid amount. Rav Yehuda objected, but this results in the borrower having to guard his receipt from the mice because if it's destroyed, the lender can collect the entire debt. Rav Yossi replied, Kachiyafulo, that is fitting for the lender, v'lo yera kocho shozeh, and his position should not be weakened by having to replace a shtar. Daf Kuf Ein Aleph. So the simmer Daf Kuf Ein Aleph is chaos, and we use a messy office to represent that chaos. So here goes. In the lender's messy chaotic office, that must be on Daf Kuf Ein Aleph, chaos. In the lender's messy, chaotic office, where a shtar whose recorded date fell on Yom Kippur was assumed to be a shtar meuchar, which reminds us, a brisa discusses a shtar whose recorded date falls out on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, meaning the solar date was written, so the date is clearly inaccurate. Rav Yehuda says, shtar meuchar hu v'kasher. It's assumed to be a post-dated shtar and therefore valid. Rav Yossi says, it's invalid. So in the lender's messy, chaotic office, where a shtar whose recorded date fell on Yom Kippur was assumed to be a shtar meuchar, when the lender who couldn't find a shtar had a sofer write a shovar for the borrower who paid back in full, which reminds us, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says, that even according to Rav Yossi, that we write receipts, this is only for partial payment, but for the entire debt, we do not write a shovar, so he can refuse to pay if the lender claims to have lost the shtar. However, the Gemara concludes that we do write a shovar on the entire amount, as evidenced by an incident in which Rabbi Abba owed money to Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, who'd lost his shtar, but offered to write a shovar for the full amount. So in the lender's messy, chaotic office, where a shtar whose recorded date fell on Yom Kippur was assumed to be a shtar meuchar, when the lender couldn't find a shtar had a sofer write a shovar for the borrower who paid back in full, the sofer made sure to leave the shovar undated because he knew that the shtar had been post-dated, which reminds us, we follow Rav Safra's policy to tell Sofrim that if they know the loan document's date, they should record it in the shtar, and if not, they should leave the shovar undated. So whenever the lender will present the shtar, the borrower can counter with the shovar. Daf Kuf Ein Beis. So the simmer Daf Kuf Ein Beis is an ache of a heel, and we use a heel of a boot. So here goes. The lender who kept the shtar for 100 zuz in the heel of his boot, that must be our Daf Kuf Ein Beis, ache of heel. The lender who kept the shtar of 100 zuz in the heel of his boot, who was told he could not switch it out for two shtaros of 50 each, which reminds us, Rav said that if a lender holds a shtar stating he's owed 100 zuz, he cannot substitute with two shtaros of 50 zuz each without the borrower's consent. Av the Rabban Milsa de Nichel Lamalva, but Nichel Lerova, the rabbis enacted a policy which is preferable to both the lender and the borrower. A single shtar benefits the lender, so the borrower who makes a partial payment will be compelled to pay the remaining balance since he must guard his shovar. It also benefits the borrower so that the lender's shtar will be impaired through a partial payment requiring the lender to swear before collecting the balance. So the lender who kept the shtar for 100 zuz in the heel of his boot, who was told he could not switch it out for two shtaros of 50 each, followed in the bootsteps of two men named Yosef ben Shimon, from whom no one could collect debt. Which reminds us, the next mission states that if two people in one city share a name, for example, Yosef ben Shimon, they cannot produce a shtar of debt against one another because his counterpart can claim the holder of the shtar was actually the borrower and received it when he repaid his debt. And no one else can produce a shtar of debt against either of them because each can claim the other is Yosef the borrower. The mission advises how to avoid these problems, such as by writing a third generation, the grandfather, or some distinguishing simon. So the lender who kept his shtar of 100 zuz in the heel of his boot, who was told he could not switch it out for two shtaros, a 50 each, followed in the bootsteps of two men both named Yosef and Shimon, from whom no one could collect debts, who were walking behind a man who just found a shtar that said, "I borrowed from you," which reminds us, a shtar emerged in Rav Huna's basin which stated, "I, Ploni, borrowed the mana mimcha, from you." Without naming the lender, Rav Huna said, "from you" can mean anyone, even the Reish Galusa or King Shapur, so the shtar's holder cannot collect with it. Daf Kuf Ein Gimel. So the symbol Daf Kuf Ein Gimel is a kilogram. So here goes. When one of the Yosef ben Shimons in town, who famously weighed the same amount of kilograms, that must be on Daf Kuf Ein Gimel. When one of the Yosef ben Shimons in town, who famously weighed the same amount of kilograms as the other one, is coming to collect a debt with the other shtar, since Osios Niknos B'Mesira, which reminds us, our Brisa states that in a city of two Yosef ben Shimons, neither can present a shtar to collect from anyone else because the other Yosef may be the true lender. This disagrees with our Mishnah, which implied they can collect from others with a shtar. The Gemara first explains they argue if Osios Niknos B'Mesira, letters referring to a shtar, can be acquired through handing over to another person. If so, then even if the other Yosef was the lender, the current holder may still collect with it, having acquired it. Alternatively, the Gemara explains that both agree a shtar can be acquired with Mesira, but argue whether Tzarech L'Havira, the holder must bring proof that the shtar belongs to him, either as the lender or having acquired it. So when one of the Yosef ben Shimons in town, who famously weighed the same amount of kilograms as the other one, was coming to collect a debt with the other shtar, since Osios Niknos B'Mesira, he was told by the Orev that he must try to collect from the borrower first, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hamalvas Chavero Al Yedei Orev, one who lends money to his friend on the basis of a guarantor, while Yiparamina Orev may not collect from the Orev. The Gemara clarifies this means he may not collect from the Orev first, but must first attempt to collect from the borrower himself. So when one of the Yosef ben Shimons in town, who famously weighed the same amount of kilograms as the other one, was coming to collect a debt with the other shtar, since Osios Niknos B'Mesira, he was told by the Orev that he must try to collect from the borrower first, because even though the lender stipulated to collect from whomever he wants, the borrower has property, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if the lender stipulated to collect from whomever he wants, he may collect from the Orev without first attempting to collect from the borrower. However, Rabbi Yochanan says this only applies where the borrower has no known property, but if the borrower has known property, he may not collect from the Orev. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf did we learn two reasons why an Orev cannot be reimbursed by Yosomim? That's on daf Kufain Dalad. Good. Number two, which daf do we mokho? Because if the shtar of a partially paid debt is replaced or a shovar is written, that's on daf Kufine. Good. Number three, which daf to discuss collecting from an Arav or Kablan where the Lova has property? That's on daf Kufine Gimel. Good. Number four, which daf do we discuss which expressions imply Arvus and which imply Kablanus? That's on daf Kufine Dalad. Good. Number five, which daf do we want to start for 100 zuz cannot be substituted with two stars of 50 each or vice versa? That's on daf Kufayim Beis. Good. Number six, which daf do we discuss if one holding a shtar must prove it is his? That's on daf Kufayim Gimel. Good. Number seven, which daf do we learn an Arav is not bound by his commitment to guarantee a ksuba? That's on daf Kufayim Dalad. Good. Number eight, which daf do we discuss writing a shovar for an entire debt and the rationale for writing a shovar? That's on daf Kufayin off. Good. Number nine, which daf to discuss what the din is in a case of shtaros of two people named Yosef ben Shimon in one city? That's on daf Kufayin base. Good. Number 10, which daf to discuss a shtar whose recorded date corresponds to Shabbos or Yom Kippur? That's on daf Kufayin off. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.